Two Idiots One Shot, the podcast with a flawed money. Let's go.
Boom! We are back. Two Idiots One Shot episode. Is it four, Alex?
It is.
I think it's four. Yeah. It is. My name is Jan, aka Shot by Aspen. Next to me is co-host Alex, aka Giant Reach Media. And we have a special guest today, photographer, creative director, model, Aaron, aka Amundo.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I'm good. I'm good. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're good.
Blessed, man. Blessed. I mean, we spent about an hour and a half in the car just on the way. Yeah, just having a chat. A lot of the questions I wanted to ask, I kind of have asked. So this is just going to be a bit of a recap, but
we'll run it back.
No, man. Like, really appreciate you being here, man. Like, it's been a year now. You were on season one.
Yeah.
Things looked a lot different for you back then.
Yeah.
For us as well.
For all of us.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Like,
it's all changed.
It's crazy, you know, like how much difference a year makes.
Definitely. This is like, whenever we have guests on the podcast, like guests I know outside of the podcast, I'm always like, when I think about like topics, questions and stuff, I always think about like where I've met this person. I think in your case, it's not really like where I've met you, because it's, I think it was just a random Facebook WhatsApp group. Yeah. It's more like when I've met you, because when I've met you, I think we were still in your 9-to-5.
Yeah.
You're still kind of picking photography up again, after a break and stuff. But you're already quite determined. I know if we met the first time for like a street photography walk, you already had like you had your mindset shifted in the right direction. You know, like you want to quit your job, you want to go full time into photography. And yeah, this must be a year, like roughly a year, I think.
Yeah, I think when we first met up that time, it was probably...
Was it June or something? You were like kind of made you redundant or whatever.
No, that was January, January 2021 is when we first met and went for a photo walk together. So it's like just under a year and a half. And
time's running.
Time flies. But yeah, I just found out that I was going to be made redundant from my 9-to-5. I'd been like playing around with photography for maybe, I don't know, about like 4 or 5 months. And I was just like, shit, I want to do this full time. Yeah. I don't want to get made redundant from another job.
Rather be my own boss now.
Exactly.
But that's a huge step though, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
Because, again, we were talking about this in the car, and I was saying to you, like, to a certain degree, like, you know, I know that at the end of the month, there's a paycheck coming in, and it's like, you know, it's not for you, it's not like, oh, you wake up in the morning, and, like, I don't feel it. Like, if you don't feel it, you ain't getting paid, full stop. And that, I think that's an added pressure that, like, I know, obviously, like, you're sitting there going, like, God damn, this guy, man. Nah, not even. Yeah. But I'm trying to say is it's not for everyone.
No, it's true.
Do you know what I mean? You got to be cut out to do it. Like when times get tough, you got to be able to just say like, you know what? Okay, I'm not going to do this. You know, I am going to sacrifice this. And I think it's difficult. You know, like even me, bro. Like I can like talk about like wanting to leave my job and stuff like that. But bottom line is, I ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's just I'm not cut out for that. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I was kind of forced though. So. Yeah, we went back. So, yeah, January 2021, my work told me that I was being made redundant, but I had until...
It was also peak pandemic, wasn't it?
We'd been through 2020 and, like, the whole furlough thing, companies realised that they weren't making any money still. So they're like, yeah, we need to get rid of some people. And my first day back after Christmas, I was that person.
Oh, wow, after Christmas.
Yeah. So I came back. I remember that morning, my manager called me over Microsoft Teams.
Yeah.
And I picked up the call and just did that. Oh, hi. How was your Christmas? Blah, blah, blah. And then he just goes, so we need to talk.
Oh, that's never good.
And I was just like, what? So, yeah, it hit me at the time, like, the day that it happened, because it kind of came out of nowhere. Then for me initially, obviously we're still in a pandemic at the time. I hadn't really been doing that much with photography. Like I knew that it's something that I enjoyed and wanted to pursue more, but at that point, I wasn't set up to do it as a career, and I didn't really have the plan in place for it. But I knew that I didn't want to be in a position again where I put in, like, for the 9 months that we'd been in the pandemic, I was one of the people that had been in at the job the whole time. Like, yeah. I think I had like 6 weeks off through furlough. Mm. And to then just turn around and say, yeah, we don't need you anymore. Just like, okay, my effort needs to be put into something that's going to benefit me at the end of the day. And it's going to pay off in doing something that I enjoy doing as well. Because I didn't enjoy the job. It was just that you have that security, like you say, end of every month, all right, I'm going to get paid, and then I'm going to have a bit of money so I can go on holiday, I can go out with friends, can spend money on camera lenses, too much money on camera equipment. But then, I got to that point, and then, my mindset just shifted, and I said that, look, if you're going to do this, you just need to go all in and just dedicate all the time that you have to building it up, making it work. At that point, I'd just been doing street photography, and it popped up. We messaged the other day. It popped up on my Instagram memories. It's like just over a year ago. It's like the first time that we shot in a studio together.
Mm. Studio.
But then, to go from a year ago, I think it was March of last year was the first time that I shot with a model. To now being at the stage that I am now, like, I couldn't have predicted this, but it just shows. It's been a mad journey.
100%. I mean, I've obviously, like, we don't talk regularly, but you know, like, I sort of like follow, you know, your Instagram, stories and stuff like that.
You took me on for them.
What? Okay. I noticed that. I stopped liking my posts.
Optical Wonder, wasn't it? Optical Wonka and Zana Preset Crew.
Yeah.
Sorry. No name dropping, right?
Yeah.
In all fairness, it's not like he's going to watch it, right? Anyway, no, but no, bro, like, I've been obviously like keeping an eye on your progress, and bro, man, like, it's like I told you the other day, you know, like, I see some of your work and I'm like, shit, you know what? Yeah, this man actually makes me want to be better. And then, like, because you see that journey that, you know, someone like you's gone through, and I'm like, incredible, you know, like, just with like 18 months of dedication, I think you said, didn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
to realistically, now be like where you are. I mean, like, you're getting regular publications. Is it Vogue that started picking you up as well now?
Yes, I've had a few on like Photo Vogue as well, which,
that's a nice milestone. Like,
exactly. Nice. Like, these are things that a year ago we would have never thought would have been even anywhere near possible, and now it's like a regular occurrence, which is it's weird, but at the same time it's just like, yeah, I fucking deserve this because I put in the work.
It's not just that you had like a pint of luck or something, like your whole approach, like the way you're approaching shooting is completely different, isn't it? Like, back in the day, it's like, hey, someone tends to shoot, and then you just went out and shoot somewhere next to Salt Spring, whatever. But
somewhere on South Bank or in Barbican. Should we go to Leek Street? On a
good brave day, you went to what's it called, Canary Wharf.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go to the tunnel.
No one's ever done this.
But like, from what I see, like, you, like, you have a proper concept in mind. You have a makeup artist. Obviously a model. Assistant, etc. On this note, like, what comes first, the concept or the model, or does it depend on, like, do you see a model like, I want to definitely shoot this kind of concept, or this model reminds you of this movie, or is it the other way around? You see a movie and you want to implement the vibe of the movie, or
there's like two scenarios usually. It's either a case of it. Do you know what? It's more music than movies, so. I'll listen to certain songs and I'll kind of have a vision in my head that's almost like the music video for the song. I listen to like a lot of like jazz music and like music from the 60s, and it has like a certain vibe. And you see in a lot of my work, it's kind of has a retro look to it, absolutely. Kind of a classic look. So I think that the music inspires that a lot. And then, movies come into it as well. So I'll have, in a lot of cases, I'll have a concept that is based on a song, or like it's based on like part of a movie, and then I'll find the right model to fit that. And then in other instances, there'll be a case of there'll be a certain model that I'll be working with, and they'll be like, I'll think of something that's built around them, and like it takes a little bit of something that I know about them, and then we can implement that into the shoot, and then the concept builds from there as well.
Yeah.
I mean, for the fact that you, obviously you've been picked up now and been published a few times, for anyone that's sort of trying to go down that same route, like, you know, like, what would you say, like, are, like, key things, you know, like, they should potentially consider, you know, websites they should look up, stuff like that. Like, where would they find, like, you know, like, inspiration or, like, even submissions like that?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of submissions, there's a website called Caviar, which is free for most, for the most part, it's free to submit your work to publications. And there's a range of different themes. So depending on what you shoot, obviously it has to be models, but it can still be, like, some of them accept more like documentary or like street stuff, but it has to involve people in most cases. So you can go through there, which is a really good place to get started. Yeah, I would say that that's the best route for people to take. But in terms of what you should consider about your own work is be realistic to yourself and how good you are. Because I started at the beginning, like, submitting work that I had thinking, oh, I'm really happy with this shoot. But that doesn't mean that it's good. That means that you're just happy with that shoot.
Yeah, fair play.
And then you have to look at what's already in the publications to kind of see what their themes are, what they go for.
Aesthetics.
Exactly, yeah. And then be realistic with yourself and just say, am I doing the same thing as that? Or am I getting something that's along those lines? And it's like you said as well, having a team around you definitely helps. So at the beginning, it's fine when it's just you and a model and you collab and they do their own makeup and they put together the outfit themselves, or you find like something and then you put together an outfit. But when you have a makeup artist, especially if you're shooting in a studio as well, if you really understand lighting, that's the key thing, is to get good lighting. Then if you're doing lighting in the studio as well, most cases you need an assistant to help you. And having a stylist as well, just realizing that when you look at a magazine, like a shoot for the front cover of Vogue, it's not just the photographer that's been involved in that. There's makeup artists, hair, probably more than one stylist doing it as well.
I saw a video recently from a photographer. He shot a Vogue campaign with a new Hasselblad camera for like 40 grand. And it was like a promotion video for this camera. But eventually they were like, no, at least 15 people walking around on the set. Like,
exactly. So you can obviously get good results with a smaller team, but it does show.
Exactly. For example, we've done a shot last weekend at God's Own Junkyard, you know, our listeners don't know. On the website, you can find Vogue done a cover shooting there, 2011. And
yeah,
I was heavily inspired by this cover shooting, but there was no way that I get near to this, because obviously there was a team, there was like, I know, 500 different lighting setups.
I mean, like, I was holding one of those, and then when he was shooting, I was like,
it's very contained. There's a difference. Like, it's not just the camera and a funny dude.
No.
Back to Caviar. And I don't want to say Caviar. I mean, you know what I mean. I don't want to take it off because I am currently have submissions there as well.
I know what you're going to say though, but yeah, go on.
Where are these fucking magazines?
Yeah.
And who, like, where? Yeah, where? Yeah.
So
I feel like, isn't it the purpose of the magazines just, isn't, I feel like these magazines are just there for this purpose, isn't it?
They are. So to begin with, I was submitting to them because it was like, oh, okay, yeah, my work's going to be published. It's published internationally, and this is great. And then you realize that, wait, these magazines aren't in stores. To get a copy of the magazine, you have to pay for it. These magazines all have their own website, and on their website where your picture is, there's ads there. So they're obviously getting ad money off of your work, but you're not getting anything from it.
No.
So in the beginning, I was like, oh, yeah, great. I'm a published photographer, looks internationally good. Published. Then I realized quickly, I was just, hang on a second, what am I actually getting out of this? No. Like, they're not...
I don't even know that.
They're not a Vogue or Cosmopolitan or, like, Harper's Bazaar, where it's, like, actual...
A few have, like, print issues, but...
They have print issues, but you have to pay
like, £80 or even more to get... I mean, you can even book, what's it called, New York Times Square... Billboard.
£5,000
or something.
Damn.
For 10 seconds, obviously.
Exactly, yeah.
Shit.
fair play. It's a good hustle. I rate the hustle, but
yeah, definitely. And it's a nice acknowledgement if you get published there, and it's cool.
Of course it is, yeah.
But yeah, I was just wondering, like, are these actually magazines as we like?
They're not the traditional magazines. No. So
Well, I suppose it still looks good on a portfolio, right? If you can't say like Vogue picture, that, you know. I mean,
yeah, that's why I did it. But yeah. I'm being honest, yeah, so I can say that I'm a publisher.
And I said to myself that on the other side there was a curator and was saying, "Oh, yeah, this is good work. I really submit this."
Yeah,
I hope so. I don't hope that everyone just gets approved there.
No, they don't, because I've had ones that weren't. Well. And then I see.
I was like,
stuff.
"Yo, what are you trying to say right now?"
Fuck off. I've seen some of the stuff that was, and I'm just like, what? But yeah, it was something at the beginning when I first started going for it that was just like, oh, this is an achievement. But then you slowly you realize, oh, actually, yeah, this is,
yeah,
it's just a bit of a gimmick.
It is. I would still do it like now and then if I have like a nice series. But yeah, it's you need to be realistic. It's not you don't put your foot in like the big magazine publication world or whatever.
No, but it teaches you a lesson that you start to learn what is necessary for that level of shoot.
Exactly, yeah.
And I think that's the benefit of doing it. The benefit isn't that, oh yeah, my work's going to be published. It's that, right, this shows me that I need to be at a certain standard. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's what I took from it, and learning how to not just produce one or two good images, but produce a set of like six to ten.
Maybe like a playground for people who like seriously want to like taking the fashion photography seriously, not just for Instagram or whatever, who actually want to get their foot into the fashion world.
Yeah.
So it's a good like test.
There's a network inside of it as well.
Yeah.
Because Caviar obviously has like the member system, so you can network through it. And I think that the benefit of it is if you're traveling across the world, you can then find people that have been published. You can see the work they've done already. And let's say that I'm traveling to Barcelona or something like that, and I want to do a shoot with some models there. I can see models that have been published in Barcelona. I can contact them through there. They can then see my work. So it's like it's just another platform to exchange.
It's actually a good shout. I'm going to Valencia soon. So.
Rather than just doing it through Instagram, because you know how many like
fucked up
people there are on Instagram.
Mate, we've literally just had this conversation. Yeah. Like, I was telling you about like what happened on God's Own Junkyard shoot. The fact that, you know, like, but this is what it is, you know, like, I mean, we've all come across them, you know, people that let you down. It is just what it is. We've also established on the way here in the car that I'm one of those people as well, you know, like I was meant to look for an occasion, but hey,
it's happened to all of us.
Do you know what? Like, that's it. Like, I think to a certain degree, I've started to learn to take it on the chin now.
Yeah.
You know, like when you get messages of like, yeah, I'm having a personal crisis. Oh, really? Okay, that's game over. No. But it's okay, cool. You know, it is what it is. But thank you. That was actually the right one.
Yeah.
obviously, but things have again evolved for you as well. Because again, I'm just drawing on what we spoke into a car, right? But you are now going to start to like move around and actually get in touch with businesses and start working with businesses if I understand.
I mean to be honest, like from the start of getting paid work, I've done work with brands as it is. But that's more of a focus now for me. It's just I've got enough of a portfolio behind me where I don't need to shoot with just random people.
No, that makes sense.
And it's a job at the end of the day for me as well. So I spend a lot of time contacting different brands and like finding strategies to work with them.
That's exactly what I want to talk to you about. Like the way into that, because like, you know, it's one thing wanting to be a fashion photographer, but it's one thing to want to earn money with the photography you do. Yeah. Right. So like, what are some of the things that you'd say, like, you know, like if you want to work with a brand, you know, like make sure you have this behind you, make sure you have like, you know, like just the basics, the four cornerstones, you know, what would that be?
Disclaimer, I can't lie and say that I'm a successful photographer because I'm not like I'm not rich, but when it comes to contacting brands, you have to first of all have a good enough body of work behind you and show that there's a range in your work of what you can produce. Ideally, if there's something that you focus on in particular, like for example, if it's like cars, contact brands that have everything to do with cars and like stick to your area of focus. Don't be like, oh, I shoot a lot of cars, so I'm going to go to lingerie brands and see what they want to do. Like, it doesn't work like that. So you have to think about what you shoot and your style and what brands are going to fit that style as well. So do your research in that sense. Have a look at what brands are already producing or have had shot for them in terms of the content that they've got. Mm. And if you can see a gap there where you think that, okay, I can either do something better or I can do something different, I can give you something a bit more, then that's when you can contact a brand. Especially if you have, for example, like I contact them a lot of the time where I'll see a brand and then I'll have a mood board for them, I'll have an idea, I'll have a model in place and say, look, this is the type of thing that I think would benefit you. And yeah, they might say no. Like 90% of them do say no.
Standard.
Like, and then 5% of them say, yeah, that's really good. Or should I say, like, there's about another 9% say, oh yeah, that's really good. We really like that idea. Yeah, we'll be happy for you to shoot that. And it's like, great. And they're like, oh, but we're not going to pay you for it. And then there's the 1% that are like, okay, yeah, he's approached it. Like, we can see that he's got a body of work. He has a plan for what he wants to do. He's got a website. You can see that he's worked with other brands in the past as well. There's obviously reputation there. And there's that 1% of brands that turn around, they give you a shot. And then it becomes just a case of networking as well. Once one brand latches onto you, then there's always someone there that knows someone else that has a business. And that's how you're going to get the majority of your work. It's not going to be a case of that work is just going to come to you. It's you have to go out there and find it, make an impression. Yeah. And then once you've made that impression, you get referrals from other people as well.
Do you get sort of like, you know, when you get the brand deals and when you get these paid shoots where you're like, okay, I know now this is what I have to deliver. Do you feel that pressure every now and then?
I would say at the beginning, yeah, I did feel pressure because you go from a case of, I'm shooting with someone that I know or that there's no money involved to, okay, there's now money on the table. This is going to affect their business down the line. Say it's like a fashion brand or something. They got a clothing brand and then they need these shots to sell those clothes on their website. That has a financial impact on them, not just from what they're paying you, but then down the line as well.
Yeah.
So of course that goes through your head, but then I think once you have enough confidence in your own ability, that supersedes any doubts that you have in your head. When you know, like there's certain shoots that I do and I think like, I don't know how I've pulled this off in like the time frame. And then someone comes to you, I've had it before, people come to me, they're like, so we want to shoot like two looks and we're going to book a studio for 4 hours. And I'm like, yeah, great.
I'll be done after 15 minutes. What are you going to do for the rest of the time?
I don't need 4 hours to shoot, but yeah, sure. We'll do that if you want. Yeah. But yeah, I think that I gave myself enough practice in the beginning with like testing myself on what I could do within certain time frames and how I could push myself in terms of like how many models you shoot or like how big the concepts are, to a point where a lot of those jobs come in and it's just like, oh, I can, what you need me to do in a day, it's not going to take me a day, but.
Nice.
Yeah, you feel.
Would you say like self-estimation is an important factor or like, is it good at some point to say, oh, I can't take this offer from this brand because I'm not there yet? Or would you rather take the risk?
Yeah, you have to be a little bit realistic because you'd rather miss out on a paycheck than to do a job and do it badly and then that affect your reputation.
Never going get a paycheck
going again, on. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not worth the stress of doing that. You have to be realistic with it.
But I think it's also a thin line, huh? Because obviously you want to step up.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But I don't know, sometimes, so I think that's the importance of, if you're trying to do more paid work, you really have to keep doing your collabs and test shoots to practice out every possible concept, working in studio, out of studio, low light. You really have to get a grasp of all of the basics technically and know that you can do things in any environment before you make that step. Mm-hmm. Because if you know that you can work in any environment, everything else is kind of secondary. You know that you have the skills to back up what you're doing. And then, just because the brand might be bigger or there might be more money on the table or they might put more pressure on you, at the end of the day, you know you have those skills to fall back on. And that's always going to serve you well, no matter what the situation is. So I think understanding your limitations, but then also working on your weaknesses is the key thing.
Love that, man. No, that's solid advice, bro. 100%. What's sort of next for Aaron? What have we got on the roadmap?
In terms of, yeah, just finding time to do that.
I mean, for anyone that's listening, that's a fan or anything like that, you know, if they sort of want the opportunity to like maybe learn a few tips and tricks from the great Aaron, is there anything coming up for those kind of guys?
It's a good transition, mate.
Yeah, there is. So I have a one-to-one workshop. You can go on my Instagram page or on my website. That is on Sunday, the 22nd of May, where basically it'll give you the opportunity, if you want to work in a studio, shoot with a model. I'm providing all of that for you. I'll be there to guide you and assist you. So if you just never used a studio before and just want the basics, I can teach you that. Or if you want to shoot in a studio, there's a concept or a look that you've seen that you want to try and achieve but don't quite know how to do it, then I'll be there to help as well. So yeah, have a look on my Instagram page, drop me a message, there'll be more information there. And then yeah, some point in June as well, I'll be doing another group workshop. I did one in April. It's really good, and it's the same thing again. So I have studio booked, a couple of models. You can book either like a morning session, which is 3 hours, or you can book the afternoon session, or you can book both. And then I run through like a range of simple lighting setups for people, and I think that's what people want, is they don't like, I could give you a show and I could have like four different strobes, I could have some colored gels going, stuff like that. But at the end of the day, like, I think what you want to learn is how can I shoot good images in a studio, get a really good look in the most simple, cost-effective way possible, because it's not cheap shooting, especially if you set up a home studio, but you want to be sure that you're not going to spend, if you book a 3-hour studio session, 2 hours aren't going to be you trying to get the lights to work and working out why the flash trigger doesn't work with your camera.
No. Oh man, do you know, that's one of the worst things, isn't it? Like trying to shoot with a flash in the studio.
Yeah,
man,
you don't want to do that. And then also you want to be able to leave the studio knowing, the shots I got, they were exposed correctly, the lighting setups were right. So with the group workshops, I think this worked well last time from the feedback that I got, is that I helped with the lighting setup in the beginning.
How was it? Lemons. How was your first workshop?
Yeah, it went really well. I was a little bit nervous going into that because it's not just me being able to do photography, it's me being able to teach photography.
Different compared to our group shoots, because yours is more like a workshop, with like a strong educational part.
Yeah,
it's more like we are more like providing. Are we like feeding a demand?
Alex is like, don't sell us short.
No, exactly. Like, come on. No. I do think that we do give people good tips. Come to our group shoots. Come to our group shoots.
We do, but our target was more like people, like we're providing models and locations and creativity. While he's more providing the education aspect. Models and stuff.
Don't get me wrong. We do help him out. We do give him like tips and tricks about and all of that, but. Bottom line is,
most of the photographers are better than you and me. You know?
Well, first of all, that. Second of all, they got better gear. I'm like, looking at some of their gear, and I'm like,
I can't tell Caroline anything about photography.
Yeah.
She's smashing
her work. Is really good. Yeah.
She's absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
But I could tell our. Careful.
You want people to come to the group shoot.
We love all our guests.
Exactly. No, but the thing is that I think like our emphasis is also on the fact, because we've obviously, there's so many group shoots.
Yeah.
Right? But the thing is, I find sometimes they're just astronomically high. And I'm like, it's just, for like a couple of hours on a Sunday morning, I think anything below 50 quid is calm.
Yeah.
Because you get to meet people, and like the nice thing is like even today I had like someone reach out to me and was like, two people that she was on our group shoot and a couple of people that were on the group shoot like reached out to her and was like, would you do private jobs?
Yeah.
And would you sort of like do it on a collab basis? And I'm like, hey, listen, first of all, like we never said that we exclusive modeling for us. No, go do whatever you want to do, isn't it? That's completely down to you. And she was worried. She was like, look, if I collab with them, maybe next time on your group shoot, they won't pay. And I'm like, if they don't pay, then screw it.
Yeah.
Like, there'll be someone else to do it, you know? Yeah. Like, this is why we created this, like, so you guys can get to know each other and actually,
yeah, it's a community, isn't it? Though. Yeah.
So, like, I think, again, from that standpoint of, you know, like, we provide value, so come to our group shoots. So, a little plug done, thank you. Carry on.
Yeah, so on your group shoot, you kind of like the, let me call it a teacher. How is it to slip into the role, like, stand there until, cause I know, because people come to your group shoots.
Everyone's a character.
It's a funny bloke. No, but they obviously, it's a bit
there's
more.
There's always one, isn't there?
Always, God.
It's a slightly more expensive, and I think people expecting kind of a value.
Yeah, but I don't think it's, like, when you think about your group shoot, that you do is 2 hours and the workshop I was doing was 3 hours. So in terms of cost, it's the same thing really if you look at what you're paying.
Yours looks more serious.
Shit, I need to be charging more
legit.
For it.
Nah. Mine just has a studio.
I've underpriced it.
No, that's what I said. If you say you go into a studio, but man's a cast, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, straight. Exactly. That's the main selling point. No. I think in terms of what you're saying about being the teacher, I don't think that people want to stand there in a studio when you have a model and you have your camera in your hand and listen to someone talk for 2 or 3 hours. So the way that I saw it, it's similar to how you guys do it as well, is that the model is going to be there. I'm going to basically do the lighting setup for you. I'll spend a bit of time talking about this is like the type of flash you use, whether it's like a strobe or a flash gun, what modifier it is, whether it's a softbox, umbrella, bare flash. Did a continuous light as well for some of them, just to show that.
We need to go there. I have no idea.
He's throwing all these terms around, and like remember this podcast initially started as a
podcast.
Softbox. Yeah.
Switch the podcast up. What were you saying?
But I basically, like, I would do the lighting setup. I would set it up myself and give like a brief explanation on it, and then basically hand over to them and let them shoot, because at the end of the day, they turn up because they want to get good photos for their portfolio. Everyone wants their Instagram feed to look sick. So yeah, that I'm helping them do that basically. And 100%. Then if they have questions along the line where they're taking the photos and it's just like, oh, so what does this do on the flash trigger? Like telling them how you can like underexpose it, overexpose it, can move, change the angle of the lights and things like that. You can go through that kind of, not too intensely, because especially if like the first group I had was like 8 people, so you can't spend too long with each person, but there's enough time for everyone to shoot with different lighting setups and with 2 different models in the session in the workshop.
Maybe 2 idiots and Aaron Mundo should do like a collab.
Collab. You're trying to take more of my money. He's like, you've got a good little thing going. Let me get involved in this.
That's the Asian in me, isn't it? I'm always looking for business opportunities, isn't it?
We're splitting it 3 ways now. I was splitting it just with me. But yeah, I didn't try and be a teacher as much, more so I'm just giving you a bit of guidance. Like, I'm setting it up, I'm giving you like I'm giving you the push on where you need to be, and then if you're happy with that, if you want to ask more questions, then we can do that. But then I could see with some people that were much less experienced shooting in that environment that it's difficult to ask those questions when you have like 7 or 8 other people around you.
Yeah, especially when you have like,
you have that one guy that's like, oh, like, I
photography masculinity, like,
yeah, oh, yeah,
like, I have such a big lens, and like, oh, yeah.
that guy, yeah, when there's that,
all right,
guy,
Richard, sit down.
Exactly. But yeah, so that's why, as well as running, ideally I want to get to a similar point where you guys, you're basically doing something
this
every month.
This is where your one-to-one sessions come in.
Yeah, so basically I want to get it to a point where like every month I'm doing the group workshop. That's a way for people to get introduced to it, kind of like dip their toe in and say, oh, okay, yeah. But then if they feel like they need to have a more hands-on approach in terms of like they have a lot more questions they want to ask. That's what the one-to-one session's for. But then it's also for people that are more experienced, but don't feel that they have all of the technical abilities to get a certain look that they're trying to go for. Then that's where two minds always work better than one. Yeah, so that's where I can be there on hand.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Plus the fact that you and we providing models, because
yeah,
I think for us it's such a day-to-day normal thing right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
For so many people, like, look, I don't even know where to find them. Or
yeah, yeah, I still remember how I initially, do you know what? I literally YouTubed it. I was like, how do I find a model for a shoot? Right? Yeah. And that guy literally gave me the, like, whoever I watched was like, go leave three comments, and the third one is, I want to collab with you, check your DM.
And to this day, you still do that.
Yeah. it bloody works. Yeah. You know? So yeah, it's things like that, and I think, it's like you said, you know, because people are sometimes just a bit hesitant to ask certain things. Yeah. A group shoot can be very intimidating, especially if you have people there that seem like they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And you're like the one that's the odd one out and doesn't want to ask the question. See, my voice cracked again. I watched the last episode before I came. And I constantly kept hearing my voice crack, and it's really pissing me off. But so I think that is a huge part of it, and also it's nice to see though, like, some of the people that initially shot with us, I've never heard from again. But yeah, I'm now seeing that their body of work is growing because they're working with a lot more people and stuff like that. So I'm like, yeah, oh, interesting. So, you know, like, from there, you did spin on and actually go and do what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
And essentially, that's what we, you know, what we're trying to do. Like, yes, it's obviously nice to earn a few bucks with it, but it's not that we can, like, literally sustain ourselves, you know, like, no. We literally put the group shoots on so we can pay for the hire for the studio, for the equipment, stuff like that, and then that's pretty much us, isn't it? So we're just putting it all back in. But I think, like, yeah, for anyone that wants to, you know, get into it, give it a shot, you know, check me, check us out, Two Idiots One Shot, check Aaron out, and yeah, man, just come to our group shoots
and come to my workshops.
That's you, it's usually you too. Yep.
Yeah.
We have actually one question from one of our listeners.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Where is it?
What do they want to know?
Why has this guy got... Oh, actually, I do have a question for you. When did you actually get into modeling? Because that took me... That honestly took me by surprise, you know? Because I'm like, yo, this man's normally behind the lens. What's going on here? Opposite day? What's going on?
I know.
And the jersey looked good.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
I was about to order it. I love it.
I really liked it.
No, that was a funny one. So a friend of mine who's also a photographer, filmmaker.
So called Ken Netcher.
Yeah, Ollie. Shout out Ollie.
I'm not gonna shout you out because I don't know you.
Yeah, no, me and Ollie have shot together a few times, like good mates, and then I think it was December actually. He was shooting a music video and I was going to be in charge of lighting for the music video. And then literally 3 days before the video was shot, he messaged me saying that one of the extras that was meant to be in the music video dropped out. Do I mind being in this music video and can I wear a suit? I was like, normally I would say no, but fuck it, why not? Let's give it a try. So yeah, that was the first time I've been in front of camera, and then I didn't mind it. I enjoyed it. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I'm not gonna win an Oscar for my performance in that music, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was gonna be. And then same thing kind of happened again. So Ollie did a shoot for a Sunday League football team, but they're also a sports lifestyle brand, Portobello FC. Shout out Portobello FC.
Shout out.
Nice.
Support grassroots football. They brought out new kits for next season that they're selling, really cool designs. And again, they needed a model. And then I said, fuck it. I'll give it a try. I'll stand there in a football shirt on Portobello Road on a sunny day and give it a go and see what happens.
I was positively surprised by how good it actually looked.
Like, oh, thanks.
No, like, I mean, like, legit. Like, I was just like,
I spent all night in front of the mirror posing.
No, like, this guy's got range in it, behind, in front.
That's it. Next to it.
Bro, yeah. Like, I've seen pictures of me, trust me, I don't have range. I don't have range. Yeah.
But I think it, having worked with so many models, it kind of helps, especially as a photographer when you have to direct models. Yeah. Like, there's been times where I'm basically doing the poses that I want them to do anyway. So I think that kind of came into it. There's a bit of experience there. Also, it helped that one of the other models that was there that day, I'd shot her. So it was easy to be comfortable in front of camera.
Yeah.
And then I just thought, why not give it a shot, man? Something different to try. And then...
Did Kent... And the shoot as well.
Yeah, so Ollie.
You had someone behind the camera.
Yeah, so Ollie did that shoot as well, which again meant it was no real pressure for me, but it is something that I'm going to do more of. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've
got a new model for a group.
Look, this is the thing. I only take paid work though. No collabs.
Collab is TFP. Let's do a no collab. TFP.
Yeah. But yeah, I obviously you get money where you can. So if there was, like, that one was a paid shoot, so yeah, get money where you can. No. Why not? But
we have a question.
Yeah. From Dam Patel Photo Damish.
Shout out Damish. Always supporting.
Yeah.
We just deleted your question.
How did you find the transition to pursuing this full time? I reckon he means photography, not modeling.
Yeah,
we sort of have gone over this, but yeah,
basically.
But let's be honest. I'm not there with either one, modeling or photography. I think.
Although you can subscribe to Aaron's OnlyFans now too.
Yeah, $4.99 a month. Link in my bio. I think that the main thing is that I hated my job enough that I didn't want to be there and that I was willing to do whatever it took to not be there, which meant that I was happy to sacrifice whatever I had to do to be a photographer.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, they probably don't have that situation.
When you say, though, like, you know, I was happy to do, like, not to be there, as in, like, in that situation is what you're talking about ever again, right?
I don't want to be working 9 to 5 in an office in front of a computer, having someone tell me what to do every single day, send pointless emails, be sitting in Zoom calls and Microsoft team meetings. I don't want to do that ever again.
So you've never really heard you on mute, done it?
No, I have, believe me. Like I told you, I picked up a Microsoft Teams call and that's how I lost my job. But I think that I was willing to sacrifice whatever I could to not be in that situation, to be in this situation, that I knew going into it that it was going to be difficult from the beginning. And it was hard straight off, because the first month I had paid work lined up and it was just like, I'm earning the same as what I would at my job. This is going to be fine. And then, month two hit. And then I had paid work lined up, but then I got COVID, so I had to cancel weddings that I was meant to shoot. And I was that was my next 3-4 months worth of money just in the bank. And I was just like, oh shit, what am I gonna do? And then that's when it gets hard.
That's what she said. Wrong one again.
But yeah, so It was a difficult, to put it in a short way, it was a difficult transition, but I accepted going into it that it was going to be difficult and that it's not just going to come overnight, but just need to keep working at it.
Are you still doing weddings? Or?
No, I don't want to shoot weddings.
Not at all. It's
no.
Why is that? Like,
to be honest, I would say to be a freelance photographer or full-time photographer, you have to find a balance between being artist or a photographer and being a business person as well. And I would say that you probably have to be 50-50 between the two. Maybe you can get away with being a little bit less of a a business person, a bit more of a photographer at times. Mm. But I would say that I'm like 95% photographer and like 5% businessman. Right, where right. Like I want to do this because I love doing photography and I don't want to get
love
it.
Your creativity.
I don't want to get to a point where it feels like a job. And yeah, I could have probably been, I could have probably made it easier for myself from the beginning and just like shot weddings and like shoot like things that are going to pay you well. Yeah. But I knew that I wasn't going to get the satisfaction.
It would just push you down that road again as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I'm going to get to a point where it's just like after a year of doing that, all right, all my time's taken up doing like weddings or like corporate stuff and it's just not enjoyable. And then I don't do any of the personal projects. And then from every, it's like there's a podcast that I listen to called Visual Revolutionary, and it has like all of the most established photographers, film directors, they all go on it. And the one thing that everyone basically says is that to have like longevity in this career, you still have to find a way to shoot the stuff you love.
Yeah.
Like you have to find a way to keep that passion. And I knew that from being in such a shit situation before where I have a job where I have no fulfillment, if I get anywhere near that again, it's just going to throw me off course.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I could have probably gone down a different route.
This was actually exactly a question I've written down, like why did you choose the hard way? Because I feel like you kind of choose the hard way, because it could be the easy way. Do corporate photography, do wedding stuff.
Yeah.
Well, take the grants. Right?
Yeah.
Not everyone, but...
No, but there was an easier way to go.
But I feel it was the same for me with DJing. Like I've done weddings now and then, but I always tried not to do them.
Yes.
Because it's not fun. It's, the only fun part is the money at the end. Yeah. But it's like 9 hours of suffering before you get the money.
Also, like, I remember, like, you were saying, like, at weddings, like, you know, there's a certain type of music you like playing, isn't it? And at weddings, like, you mostly...
I mean, if I get invited to a Jamaican wedding, they want to have, like, bashment, hip-hop, and whatever, so I'm up for it.
Yeah. Good. So
if I'm going, to, I don't know, like...
Classical music, please.
Yeah, or, no, everyone.
Mozart.
Being on a wedding. every wedding couple, like when you have like your pre meeting, it's like, so now we are a bit different. Yeah, our music case is definitely a bit different, and our friends are so alternative.
So when we playing just ABBA? Sit there,
like, when we play, so we're playing ABBA half an hour later than our.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, love it. Yeah, because now everyone is drunk.
I could have chosen an easier way of doing it, but I wanted to find a way. I wanted to shoot the stuff that I enjoy shooting, build it to a level where it's good enough that people want to work with me based on that alone, and then find a way to get paid for that type of work.
Exactly. Loyalty over work.
I think for anyone that's listening, anyone that, you know, wants to go out and do what, you know, Aaron's done, I think that's...
Don't do it.
Don't try this at home.
That last sentence, I think it's pretty much a good roadmap, isn't it? Like, figure out your style, you know, do the thing you love. And, I think, you know, with enough hard work, you know, and consistency, I think things just fall into place. You just have to be tough enough to, like, go through the shit times, isn't it?
Yeah, it takes a lot of work, though. Like, you have to be willing to sacrifice going on holiday, like nights out here and there, like you're not going to be around because your friends want to go out on Saturday night, and it's just like, oh, I've got to be up at 6 a.m. on Sunday to do a shoot. And
you have definitely my respect. I'm glad that you're doing it, because it's not that I completely throw these plans out of the window. But you do first.
You first.
And you
first.
You learn from my mistakes.
It's like Squid Game when they're walking across that plank.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Yeah.
No, because I don't know that much about the background, but I kind of know that you're not coming from like a posh rich background and like, oh, I try photography. If this doesn't work out, then I become a, I don't know, surfing teacher or whatever. So you definitely made a step.
I don't have that safety net.
Yeah, I absolutely love that jacket, you know.
Oh, the Pulp Fiction one.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction, right? Oh,
motherfucker.
Amazing. Good stuff. Do we have any more questions? Do you know?
Yeah. No, I asked him already. Oh, no, one thing, and it's actually very close to my heart. Will we see at some point street and documentary photography from you again? Because Don't get too much of my opinion, because other people will have other opinion. But I really miss your street photography and documentary photography.
Yeah.
Do you have still any plans, projects, whatever? Like,
I have. Yeah, there's a project that I'm working on at the moment that's more of a documentary project. But it's not that. Well, it's not that I stopped enjoying doing it. I felt that I reached a point where I was shooting the same stuff over and over again with street photography, and I reached a limit to my creativity with it. Especially with shooting the protests as well. It's easy to get good shots at not that it's easy to get good shots at a protest, but there's,
I know what you mean. There's always a sad child with a sign in their hand.
there's they call it like the low hanging fruit. There's the easy shots to get, and then I met so many good photographers there that do that full time, and like that's their lane. That isn't my lane. Like, there's so many people that can tell those stories better than me, and it would be wrong of me to try and just pursue that, because I don't feel that's my lane. I feel like I need something where I need a bit more creative control, where I can build the concept and get like a good team of people involved, because I think that, especially shooting street photography, yeah, you can have, like, we would have meet up and do photo walks and stuff like that, but I felt that when I was doing my best work in terms of street photography, I was just out there on my own. Yeah. That's
same for me. Like, yeah, I love like meeting you guys, but whenever I go out with you with Thomas, I come home.
It never works.
Not a single good shot.
And then you get drunk, and then yeah. It's just like, let's meet up and do some street photography. Okay,
but this is definitely Thomas.
Yeah, really. Yeah, it's not my influence. It's not my influence. But yeah, I think that the one thing that I really enjoy about shooting like the more portraits and like commercial stuff is just like having a team of people around you. Like, over the past year since I've started in that lane and kind of stepped out of doing street photography as much, like just the talented people that you meet, like whether they be models or stylists, makeup artists. Like, there's so many creative people out there, and I think there's more of a community aspect for me anyway. I'm not saying that there's not a community aspect, because certain documentary photographers, they'll immerse themselves within their own community. Like, someone's really good at that is Christian Cross. Like, you've seen his work. Like, yeah,
I've spoken a few times though on progress, yeah. And this is also what I realized. I was always thinking, the London photography community is quite small, but it isn't. It's just a lot of small communities around London, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
So he has his few people around, and
So there's a community aspect there, or like just being in touch with his own community, because he shoots it in and around Peckham.
You know that he sold all his digital cameras.
Yeah, I saw, and he's just
even the Ricoh, and he was a Ricoh ambassador.
Yeah, and he's just shooting on the Leicas now. I saw that. I mean, yeah, there's worse place to be, isn't there? Where I'm only shooting on Leicas now, but I just feel that there's like, I enjoy the community of people that I'm building around me, nice. Like in terms of like a team of people that I can call on to work with. We were saying it in the car on the way over here. Like, you were saying that you never shoot with the same model.
You only ever shoot
once with each model, and then you move on to the next one. But then for me, it's a case of I want to build.
Is it though?
If you look at my body of work,
aside from the group shoots,
handful of people that I've actually repeatedly worked with.
True. But then with me, especially if you put in so much work where you're building a concept and you're paying, like if you're doing it off your own back as well, where you're paying for a studio, you're paying for a makeup artist, you're giving up a day of your time. You want to be sure that, right, that this can't be the first time I'm meeting this person and I don't know how well it's going to go. But then you also want to have a good range of people to shoot with as well. So it's just like,
does it build a bit of a comfort zone when you work in a team? Because
I feel it gives you better results. Yeah, so
I haven't done like one-to-one shootings in a while. And then I've done one like a few weeks ago. Kind of awkward, like it's just you and me now. Oh, we have to talk.
No, I think it depends on who you shoot with.
Of course,
yeah.
You did a shoot at God's Own Junkyard, man. No one talked to you. Yeah. You're fine with that. So, you know, that's what I'm saying to that.
More models like that. No thanks.
Nah. No, definitely don't.
So I think, yeah, one, if you can build, I think the thing that makes it the most enjoyable is if you find your community and what you're doing. So I think that I've found that where I am now. And that network of people just continues to grow. I know that I've got people that I can call on for all different types of shoots, like people with different talents as well. So I think that that community aspect is what's keeping me where I'm at now. Street photography, I would do it. I have done a bit of street photography, but it was like, for example, when I was away in Paris a couple of months ago, and then I went down to Toulouse as well in France. I did a bit of street photography there, but it was more so kind of like a form of meditation rather than...
No, that's what street photography is for me as well.
Yeah.
Just go out on a Sunday morning and work around for 5 hours and get your head free.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas when you're shooting in a studio, or like you have a shoots with models, or you're shooting for a brand or something like that, there's something on the line. There's other people's time that you're taking up. There's more pressure on it. So it's not as much of like a meditation. It's like, this is work. Street photography is the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
It is, yeah.
And I don't have time to do that.
It's so much slower. I saw a video the other day from a photographer from, who was it? Somewhere in the States. And he published a book. He's done a photo project. He published a book about like fatherhood and stuff.
Yeah.
And amazing pictures. But yeah, he worked on it like 10 years. Like he said like 10 years ago, I start this project. He took photos of different father-child situations over 10 years and then published the book.
Yeah,
That's smart. You need to be patient, because I was like,
yeah,
at the beginning of this year, I was like, end of this year, I want to publish my first photo book, and I haven't even started yet. So I've half through. You know what I mean? Yeah, like it's
you,
like
you know, you say that, and like I mean, like I know this is like quite new space, but like you know that guy that sold like this NFT for 72 million. Basically, what they did is like they took all his tweets from like the last 10 or 12 years. And made it into an NFT, right? And then I'm like, that's actually quite interesting, because like, who knows, but in 10, 12 years, someone might, like, you might even turn around, put all your work out there, and like you said, you know, like with that guy that was doing the Father Son shots, it might be the best work you've ever, like, put out, you know what I mean? Like, it's all about, you know, just keep going. Like, I think, like, just keep going. Doing the thing that you love is literally just going to lead you to what you essentially want. It's just like, definitely, don't be greedy, like understand it's a journey, you know, like it's not a sprint, you know, like you have to freaking get to the end.
Especially with projects, like there's the other guy in Ascot, Scotland, not Ascot, anyway, and he's documenting a certain area, like basically like Christian Cross with Peckham, and he's doing this like also like 15 years or something.
I think I know the guy you're talking about,
weird name, but
no, anyway, I know the one you mean though. Yeah. But yeah, I've seen that work.
Yeah, and like I know, like just doing the same stuff over 10-15 years. But yeah, this documentary, and it's a great piece of legacy.
Again, you have to remember though, it's one side of his work over 10-12 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there might be like a whole range behind it, but this project just took this long, didn't it?
Yeah,
100%. No. Time's run out. Let me just quickly do the camera again. Okay, so now I think we've pretty much come to the end as well, though, to be honest.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Absolutely.
Is there anything you wanna talk about?
No, I mean, me and we spoke quite a lot in the car.
We had a lot of traffic on the ride home
as well. But man, look, all I want to say is like, you know, like, I can't stress it enough. I'm genuinely massive fan of your work, right?
Thank you, appreciate it.
Made me want to be better, man. And for that, that's off to you, bro.
No, cheers.
Thank you for being on here.
That's it. And then I think are we going to have another episode coming up with me?
Yeah.
Are we?
We spoke about it.
Oh, are we? Did we?